We have been looking at the book of Galatians now for several weeks, and the Apostle Paul is concluding this letter that he wrote, and I'm going to finish up this series on Galatians, and then we're going to start a new one next week. But what we're going to talk about today in chapter 6 is how he stresses this principle of sowing and reaping. You know, often people get fairly deceived about what is really going on in their life, and essentially, we kind of just have to turn around and look behind us and see what kind of fruit is behind us. Like, what's in the wake of our life? What is, you know, where we've just walked, what kind of fruit are we seeing right there in our life? And it really doesn't matter if you're willing to admit it or if you want to be in denial about it or accept it. But at the end of the day, because that fruit is there, we just have to kind of look at what's laying on the road where we've just walked. And often it kind of points to different things. Sometimes it points to really good fruit, and sometimes not so good fruit. And so I love this passage because it's a smart passage, and it's for people who, you know, there's different kinds of people that hear truths or hear biblical truths, and you know, there's Proverbs says the fool doesn't listen to some of the truths of the Bible, and a smart person does. So I think we can all be smarter at the end of the day after we just kind of receive this word from the Lord today. But if there's bad fruit kind of laying on the road behind us, then it could point to just self-sufficiency or a life that has an absence of God. Jesus isn't in the center of our life. Or it might reveal other things, that we have a life that there's things that we've gone to get our needs met that have come between us and God, or we've worshiped other things besides God, or we've maybe had nothing to do with God, and that bad fruit is there. It kind of points to that. It also can reveal and point to that we have sin in our life. And I want to talk about that a little bit today because, you know, bad fruit is, it often points just kind of like an arrow that we have these sins of choice in our life. And so we have to talk about that. We have to address the kind of root issue of sin in our lives. And the reason is because, these sins of choice that we keep going to over and over and over again, they're always, always, always going to result in bad fruit. And, you know, we can have lots of bad fruit in our life from going to these empty and false substitutes. So, you know, for instance, if our sin of choice is drinking too much alcohol, then we're probably going to end up with a diseased liver and possibly a whole bunch of broken relationships in our life. Or if our sin of choice is shopping or gambling, then we're going to end up with some pretty significant debt and financial loss, and that's some bad fruit. Or if our sin of choice is gossiping, then we're probably going to end up being a person who has very few friends because they just can't trust us. So hopefully, eventually, the bad fruit, boatloads of bad fruit, eventually get our attention. And then we stop, and then we kind of say, you know, wait a minute, I'm in trouble here. I don't want this. I don't like all the bad fruit in my life. So let's pray. We're going to read out of Galatians 6 and see what Paul says about sowing and reaping. Father, thank you for how we can just look at these truths today and become people who are wise and not fools. And I ask for that. I ask that actually we would get some traction in this area of our life, that we would today make some choices, things that you want for us, things you're calling us to. And Father, I also just want to pray this morning for all of the crew and linemen that are out in our communities and just the endless hours that they're working, every daylight moment, and I ask for safety, and I ask for provision, and I know they have homes and families that they've been away from that have needs as well. And so, Father, would you just supply all their needs? Would you give them great efficiency and just assist and help them in their work today? In Christ's name, amen. All right, so let's read Galatians 6, starting with verse 7. It says this, "Do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. People reap what they sow. Those who sow to please their sinful nature, from that nature will reap destruction. And those who sow to please the Spirit, from the Spirit will reap eternal life. Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially to those who belong to the family of believers. So what this means is that God has created this universe of order and consistency, and life is not just a series of random, meaningless events. Like, written into our world, morally, relationally, spiritually, materially, in every way, there's this general principle in life about sowing and reaping. You know, if a farmer wants a harvest, he goes out and he sows and he plants seeds in a field, and then he nurtures that and waters it, and he does a lot of work and waits, and at some point there is a harvest. And likewise, for us in our life, eventually, sooner or later, you know, every single person sits down, if you will, maybe at a table or at a banquet, and there's these results. There's these results, there's these consequences, and it's based on the seeds that we've sown. Every encouraging word, every hand that has a act of kindness or is extended, every prayer of intercession, every dollar that you give generously without strings attached is a seed sown in the Spirit, which is going to, according to this passage, it's going to grow. It's going to mature into eternal life and bear really, really good fruit. And yet, on the other hand, every word of criticism, every time that I avoid being compassionate, every indulgence or selfish or greedy act, every one of those is seeds that are sown to the flesh. And it says it's gonna grow into evil, destructive corruption. Decisions are seeds. Decisions we make are seeds. Attitudes are seeds. Acts and actions are seeds. Prayers are seeds. Thoughts are seeds. All of it's gonna come to harvest. And, you know, there's no need to guess, like, what the outcome is gonna be. You know, this actually is really hopeful when there's injustice in our lives and, you know, we're being mistreated, because really, really, at the end of the day, nobody's getting away with anything, because there will be fruit. It'll be good fruit or it'll be bad fruit, and we have to live with that. But Paul says there will be fruit. In Galatians 5:16, it says, "So I say, walk in the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of sinful nature." What Paul is teaching, and Michael did a good job talking about this last week, and because he kind of really laid out what walking in the Spirit is. But he talked about, you know, if you want to know how to live your life, it's about walking in the Spirit. And Galatians, you know, 5 and 6 talk a lot about what that looks like. And he used the example. You just, walking is your right foot, left foot. It's step by step, little by little, sowing seeds to the Spirit. And he's making a similar point here about sowing and reaping. And he's saying, this is like, folks, this is a life lesson. Here's a little bit of logic for you. You know, it's not that mysterious. If you want to reap marriage that's great and fulfilling, then you have to sow seeds that are going to result in a great marriage. And if you want, you know, financial stability, then you got to sow seeds of somehow having some disciplined habits of having a budget or, you know, controlling your spending, and you have to do that now. If you want to reap close and personal relationship with God, then you have to do something today to sow seeds into your relationship with God. Might look like, you know, tomorrow morning you get up, you start saying, you know, your day, you start out by, you know, Godward, saying, you know, who do you say I am? And what are we doing today? And I want to, like, be surrendered to you, God. I want to learn how to spend time in your presence. I want to read your word. I want to understand your word. I need to receive the Holy Spirit. And then on the second day, you get up and you do it again. And on the third day, you get up and you do it again. And as you do that, you're sowing seeds to the Spirit, and it's going to reap a close personal relationship with God. If you're in your 20s or your 30s and you don't want to have a midlife crisis, you've got to do a good job sowing seeds right now. You sow good seeds to the Spirit in your relationships and in your marriage and in your work and in your friendships, and you sow into your relationship with God. You know, a midlife crisis is simply just not sowing good seeds. It's the result of not sowing good seeds when you're younger, in your 20s and your 30s. And we get to middle age and we say, wow, you know, I think my best days are gone. And I no longer have, like, the attractive body that I had yesterday. And I had, you know, my days are just, they're not as exciting anymore. Like, there's nothing new under the sun. I don't know how to get that fun feeling. My life feels empty and boring, and there's this huge hole inside of me, and I need some excitement in my life. And then you know, begin to go off the rails, and you pursue this happy place. And what if in your midlife, what if in your, you know, 45, 50, 55 years old, you know, what if you began to reap this good fruit? Like, what if good fruit was popping up? Have you ever talked to somebody over 50 and they're like, wow, this is like the best time of my life. This is a sweet spot in my life. And, you know, I'm thriving, and I'm doing exactly what I want to do. And I'm so happy about my family and my job and my relationship with God. And, like, that's not an accident. You know, that's someone who actually sowed a lot of good seeds in their 20s and 30s, because life is just, it's not, you know, those are people who have been investing, because life is, it's not just about consuming, it's about investing for a future. You think about a farmer, he goes and plants a seed, you don't get to consume it the next day. There's nothing there to consume yet, right? He invests in that ground and works it and nurtures it and waters it and waits. And I admire this about farmers. I would die first, you know, waiting for that potato. It takes time, and then all of a sudden, there it is. You have a carrot and a potato, and you actually now, because of all that good sowing and that work and that waiting and keeping the weeds out, now you actually have something to consume. But it's a process. I want to talk a little bit more about just the sin issue here. Most of us tend to sweep sin under the carpet. There's two kinds of sin. There's our own sins, the things that we do that, you know, are not from the Father heart of God for us. And then the second kind of sin is the sins that people do to us, the sin that's committed against us. And really, you know, it's kind of like this. We're walking along through life, and we're trying to, like, just walk across the room. We're trying to go through life, and suddenly, you know, there's these bumps in the carpet, and you're, like, tripping over these things that we've kind of swept under the carpet when it comes to sin. If it's our own sin, we kind of like, sorry, God, you know, forge ahead. Let's get past that. I don't, you know, and try to shake the shame of it. If it's sin that's been done against us, you know, it's usually sweep it under the carpet because it was painful. And, you know, we're going to try to escape it and get past as fast as we can. And we don't necessarily deal with it in the way that God would have us do it. For instance, you might say, you know, I get so angry, I get so full of rage, but I don't even know why. Or I tend to, like, most of the time I feel frustrated, or I feel this low level of anxiety, or I feel like life is just kind of ripping me off all the time, you know? And if I go to order something at the restaurant and they're out of it, like, well, of course you are, because it's me ordering it, and I get ripped off all the time. And, you know, or we kind of feel depressed, or, you know, just ashamed, and we don't even know why. And it's simply because there's just so much stuff that we have, like, swept under the carpet that you can't even try to, you know, clean out the garage without getting really, really angry. Or you can't find the remote, and all of a sudden you're flipping a cork. And it comes out towards your spouse or your children or people at work. And everyone's kind of thinking, what's the matter with you? You know, why are you such a jerk? And there's this bad fruit in our life, and we've swept it under the carpet for weeks or months or, you know, believe it or not, years. And if you sweep something under the carpet, I don't care if it's 15 years ago, it's still under the carpet, and it still creates a bump in the carpet. And so because of our own sin, or because of someone else's sin against us, and because we haven't dealt with it, we have these huge bumps under the carpet. But God is there, and he wants us to be free. He wants us to be free from it. He wants to heal us. He wants to like slowly pull back that carpet. And when he does that, he's saying, let's talk about what happened to you. Let's talk about what's been swept underneath. The reality is it's been under there for 10 or 15 years. You know, we just weren't taught what to do when that happened. We don't know what to do when someone sins against us. We don't know what is God's way out of getting out from under the negative effects of the sin. We don't know what that looks like. And we've just kind of lived with that bad fruit. And we've even become comfortable and thought, well, this is just the way it is, or this is my personality. And at some point, like, we have to come to the place where we come face to face, heart to heart with Jesus, and say, you got to help me trust you. I don't have it in me, but I need you to help. I need you to put trust in me, because I cannot live with the bad fruit in my life anymore. And in order to change, we need to like admit that we need God's love and his voice in our lives. Without, you know, we can't keep trying to live without real relationship with him. And what we long for, that's like inside of us, there's this deep need for love and true acceptance. But because we've been abandoned or because we've been rejected, that need isn't met. So we go to all these people and places and things to try to meet that need. And it only really comes from God. We can't get a real touch or a real satisfied need met unless we come to him. And through him, then we find that. And, you know, and then we need to learn how to just receive it. We're so bad at this. It drives me crazy. Drives me crazy myself, not you. It's like we're so bad at receiving God's love. It's like right there, you know? Like, oh, yeah, it's right there in your head. You know he loves you, but actually receiving it. I recently went through this experience where, you know, I was just sitting with God in his presence, and I've been working through just how to not get that need for love and approval and acceptance from people. Because if I'm going to try to get you to approve of me, then I'm basically using you to meet a need. And if I can get God to meet that need, then I don't have to use you. I can just love you. And it makes my relationship with you much more healthy. You see that? And so I'm sitting there, I'm just aching for this need for acceptance and approval, and I know in my head that God loves me. I feel that in my head, but I'm just interacting with him, and he gives me this incredible gift, and he shows me a picture of himself, and he's exuberant. He's jumping up and down. I've never seen him, you know, visually this happy, but in my mind's eye, I see him. He's clapping, he's applauding, he's cheering, he's saying, I love you. Thank you for being you. I adore you. And he kind of wraps it all up in a gift, and he hands it to me. And he's like, now walk away. I said, yours. And I like let that go into the places of my heart that only the Holy Spirit can go. And I've been walking around for weeks feeling God's love and acceptance and being completely free from needing it from out here. And I'm actually starting to love people better because I got that need met from him instead of people. Because if you do it, then I have to keep coming back, right, for more. If he does it, then I just have to remember that picture that he gave me and relive it hundreds of times, which I'm doing. And so we can begin to be vulnerable and ask him to help us get out from under the negative effects of all of this sin that's been done against us, and all the negative effects of our own sin and all that bad fruit in our lives. It always has a spiritual basis at its roots. Because if we don't worship the living God, then we're going to worship someone or something else, because we have those needs. And so if we don't learn how to get those needs met from God, then we're going to turn to other things to make ourselves feel better. And, you know, it's kind of as if, like, we're held hostage by the pain and the memories of what happened to us. And God just wants to go to those places, and he wants to come in, and he wants to get down to some of those issues, those underlying things that are causing all that bad fruit. You know, it's kind of like if you fish, this will make a lot of sense to you. And if you don't, I think it will too. But if you fish, you throw the line out, you hold the pole, and the bobber stays on top of the water, and the pole's pretty straight. But then as soon as you hook something under the surface of the water, might be down there pretty deep, all of a sudden, you know, the bobber goes crazy, and there's this huge bend in the fishing pole because something got hooked under the surface. And so it's just like that in us. For example, you know, we have these angry outbursts, or maybe just obsessive thinking going on, or extreme, like that bend in the fishing pole is like these extreme emotional responses. And when we have an extreme emotional response in our emotions, it should lead us to ask some questions. Like, you know, where does that come from? Like, when did that start? Like, what just got hooked in me? Is there an event in my past that, you know, happened and ever since then I felt this? Or, you know, as we look at our emotional reactions and our responses, you know, even kind of writing them down and saying, Lord, what's getting hooked in me? Why do I suffer and feel rejected every day? Or why do I feel angry at people that I love? Or here's one that's pretty common. Why do I get offended so easily? What is getting hooked under the surface? What is, you know, I ask all the time, I get in a jam and I realize I'm afraid. And I'm like, and, you know, I hear the Lord say to me, Brenda, what is your worst fear? What are you afraid of? Well, let me come and speak to that. Let me come and heal that. And then with the help of the Holy Spirit, you start to, you know, begin to see, oh, that's where that bad fruit is coming from. And that should, like, drive us right to the feet of Jesus. And we start to have that heart-to-heart, face-to-face healing and grace. And it comes to those areas in our life that are still producing bad fruit. Now, there's a wrong application of sowing and reaping. Sowing and reaping is a general principle. It's a principle of what's typically the case. But we live in a fallen world, and sometimes you can do a lot of things right, and bad things will still happen. And so you have to be careful of making, you know, a wrong application of this principle of sowing and reaping. Let's say, you know, you're a huge success in your business, or you're just, like, crushing it at the gym and eating right and healthy and, you know, not my story. Maybe you're at a sweet spot in your marriage because you're just sowing so many seeds. You might, you know, be absolutely faithful, working hard, being smart, generous, and, you know, you have someone embezzle from you at work, or, you know, we have a recession, or somebody steals something, or circumstances happen that just are out of your control. You might be totally faithful and a good spouse, and your husband or wife might still cheat on you. And so all of a sudden you are caught up in you know, some bad fruit there. Or, you know, you might get lung cancer and never have smoked one cigarette. You might have lived a pretty healthy life and, you know, end up with something that they say should have been caused by something bad, but that's just not what happened. You know, we have to apply this rule of sowing and reaping with wisdom and discernment. Because, like, you think about Job in the Old Testament, and he had a lot of stuff happen to him. He did everything right, it says in the Bible. He was humble and walked with God, but he lost his children, his property, his health. And his friends came around him, and they said, whoa, Job, you know, you just need to repent because you're just reaping what you sow. And they really condemned him and judged him for his suffering. And the Bible says that's not what was happening. God was doing something, there's something completely different going on. So I believe that this principle of sowing and reaping applies when we're talking about, you know, our character formation. Like, who are we inside? How are we going to respond? And, you know, just if you struggle with trying to figure out whether or not, you know, this is happening in your life or not, just find some really, speak to, like, mature, kind, thoughtful Christians that can just kind of help you sort it out. Because you see, in some situations, your life is affected by bad fruit, but it's actually somebody else's bad fruit. But their bad fruit affects your life. And so in those situations, the question to us is, how are we going to respond to that bad fruit, the pain of it from somebody near us? Or, you know, just bad things happen to godly people because we live in a fallen world and because the enemy hates that we're followers of Jesus. And so sometimes bad fruit's the result of an attack rather than seeds that we've sown. But God can help you sort that out and understand the difference. You just want to don't take a pass, you know, every time something bad happens and go, oh, it's just attack. Because you need to evaluate if it's from seed sown. Does that make sense? Okay, let's talk a little bit about the hopefulness of sowing and reaping. And I want to highlight this. Let's say that you're sitting here right now and you feel like your life pretty much stinks, and you're like, yep, she's telling my story, I'm reaping what I sow, I sowed some bad seeds, and it just feels like too late because, you know, I'm right in the middle of some really, really bad fruit. Well, let's flip this a little bit, because what if this is one of the most encouraging and hopeful verses for you and for your story? Because what it's saying is, what are you going to do today in terms of sowing for tomorrow? How are you going to respond to sow seeds to the spirit and not the flesh? How are you going to respond today with this crud that you're reaping and turn it into a different sowing story? There's hope. There's always hope. In contrast to every other religion and every other, philosophy, Christianity is different. And I love this because Christianity says that you are free to choose the course of your life. That is beautiful and gracious and loving. You see, every other religion outside of Christianity, it essentially teaches determinism. Like Eastern, Far Eastern religion, it's just your karma. That's how you end up. You're simply living out the destiny of your karma. And that's all determined by your past life. Or even astrology. It has to do with the stars and the movement of the planets. For goodness sakes, you don't have anything to say about it. You're a Libra. And so therefore, you're going to be like this. You're determined, the way that you are. Or even psychology today will tell us that it's genetic. There's genetic determinism. You're an alcoholic because you have an alcoholic gene. Or your, marriage is, you're in adultery because you have an adultery gene. Or in the 90s, there was this huge thing about this rage about dysfunctional family, and it's your father, it's your mother, it's your neighborhood, it's your birth order. You can't help it. You're the middle child. Right? I'm a middle child. I can't help it. But Christianity doesn't say that. Christianity says no to that determinism. You might say, Brenda, certainly these things must have some influence. Yeah, some, but what we see in the Bible is this irrefutable thing about human freedom. And we're given the capacity to choose and to put one foot in front of the other and to respond and to surrender to God's love and to walk in the Spirit, and it will change the trajectory of our life, the Bible says. That's what we discover in the Bible, is this freedom of the human spirit. That's going to determine our destiny. We can shape our future with God's help. We can sow today and reap tomorrow in the Spirit. I mean, if determinism were actually true, how do you account for all the folks that are thriving when everything in their life, was against them? The odds, were absolute failure. Let me tell you a story. Are you guys familiar with the name Ben Carson? Carson grew up on the streets of Detroit, and he seemed pretty much destined just for jail. He often got into violent fights. He was a very angry child. Clearly, he was angry because that was sort of rooted in the fact that his father had abandoned him and his mother when he was 8. His mother only had a third grade education, so she was working as a maid, very low income, barely could put food on the table for him and his sister. And in fifth grade, Ben was about 2 years behind the rest of his class, and he was considered to be the class dummy, and the other kids were ruthlessly mean and made fun of him. And so he would bring home these report cards, and he was failing in every grade, and his mom was desperate, and she didn't know what to do, because he was already in grades higher than she had ever gone to school. But she just set a limit with the TV. She was kind of just trying to figure out what to do. And she said, you guys need to read books. And so she made him read books, and she made him write reports. And they had to read 2 books a week and write, 2 reports a week on those books. This is like mom giving homework, right? And then because she had this limited education, she actually couldn't even read understand some of what they were writing. So she would give him fake grades and encourage him. But suddenly, all of a sudden, Ben discovered that he's actually not stupid. He's actually, even passing, adults in education. And he's also passing all of his white classmates at the time. And this caused a lot of great resentment and some actual racist reaction. And in high school, one of Carson's teachers berated the class for letting, and these are her words, and I quote, a Negro outshine them. Carson still had this really violent temper going on, even though he was pretty much excelling now at school. He was doing well at school, but he got in a fight, a very, very bad fight, and he almost killed a person in this fight when he was 14 years old. He was so horrified about his violence and the bad fruit. He didn't like it, that he went home and he grabbed his Bible and he locked himself in the bathroom. And he just asked God, he just started crying out to God, and God showed him scriptures to read. And he read a verse in Proverbs 16:32 that says, better a patient man than a warrior, a man who controls his temper than one who takes a city. And he realized that with God's help, he really could change. Like, he could become a man who was patient and self-controlled. And he begged God to forgive him, to change him. And something like broke in that bathroom, and he was changed. He was a changed man. And so then he went on to become the valedictorian of his class, and he went to Yale, and then he went to Michigan Medical University. And he happened to become this brain surgeon who was the first person to successfully separate Siamese twins who were joined at the head. He's a brilliant, brilliant man. Nothing determined his life except that God allowed him to choose while he was sitting on a toilet. With God's help and grace, he chose the trajectory of his life. See, God lets you choose. How will you respond in life? What are you going to do to reap things of the Spirit in the future? Now, here's a warning. Galatians 6:7 says, do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. All right. Well, we might believe that we can get away with poor sowing or no sowing at all, and still somehow reap a good harvest. You know what? The enemy always lies to us. He always lies to us, and he says, yeah, you'll get lucky. That won't happen to you. You're going to get a pass. You'll be fine. That deception always says you'll be fine. If you ever hear the words, you'll be fine, in your head, just like wake up and slap yourself. Oh my gosh, there might be a spirit of deception here. I might not be fine, except apart from God, except for, what God can do for me. The word mock literally means turn your nose up. You can't turn your nose up at God for the way he's created the universe. You don't get a different order of, a different economy. You don't get a different plan in the universe. You're not exempt. You can fool people. You might even fool yourself. But Paul says, do not be deceived, which leads me to think that we probably can. We do get deceived in this area. God's going to work this law of sowing and reaping into your life. And so you can fool people with good public relations. You can put a spin on it. And there are thousands of people who are hiring image consultants. They pay lots of money to do that. Tiger Woods, he carefully crafted an image of great self-control, great self-discipline. He crafted an image of a man who was totally devoted to his family and his wife and his baby. He fooled a lot of people. USA Today said that some years ago, Tiger Woods had the most carefully managed image on earth. I mean, he paid millions to professional image consultants to ensure that he would come out in every interaction that he had, and he would look like, this best possible version of himself. And yet, in the middle of the night, after a big fight, she jumps in his luxury car, trying to leave, frantically, hits a tree, and it all blows up. You know what? The truth always comes out. It eventually comes out. Nobody is really ever getting away with anything, because God cannot be mocked. Every attempted cover-up, Toyota, Martha Stewart, Kobe, GM, BP, all hiring image repair consultants, because God cannot be mocked. It's right there. You reap what you sow. And you know what? God might not repair your image if you've got a poor one. He's not that interested or particularly interested in, repairing perceptions. But he is interested in how are you going to respond in that situation. I'm going to end with a couple things here. The positive side of sowing and reaping is Galatians 6:8. Those who sow to please the Spirit from the Spirit will reap eternal life. We're going to get what is due us. There's, you know, those who sacrifice to serve the Lord are going to be rewarded. And God is not going to be in anybody's debt. And Galatians 5, 22 and 23, Michael really unpacked this last week, but it says, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things, there's no law. If you don't like where you're headed, like if you don't like the person that you've become, if you see bad fruit in your life and you're too angry, or you're critical, or you're harsh, or you're judgmental, or maybe you're self-focused and self-pitying and, you know, a self-consumed person, if you don't like that, then you stop and start to sow to the Spirit today. It's never too late. You can sow to the Spirit today. And right here in this moment, you can say, okay, I'm going to go into recovery. I'm going to get help for my marriage. You can start to sow good seeds. And if you don't like it, there's hope. There's hope for your marriage. Just talk with your spouse and, you know, be brave, be courageous, and say, we need to reach out for help. I mean, this is going down the drain. We need help. You have to humble yourself, and you have to, you know, realize that the choice is in your hand. You get to choose. It's beautiful. It's gracious. It's loving. I'm going to get help. If you have a financial mess because of bad sowing, you've overspent, you got to start admitting it, and you need the right kind of help, and you need to sow seeds differently. But you need to choose to get on a different path, to sow to the Spirit, and begin to do what the Holy Spirit wants in your life, and then you'll see that harvest. And then finally, there's this challenge of sowing and reaping. And you see that challenge at the end here of this passage, Galatians 6, 9. Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time, we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Well, there's the challenge, isn't it? There's a delay. Generally, it's not an instant payoff. It's like the farmer puts the seed in the ground, and it doesn't pop up tomorrow, necessarily. We don't reap the moment after we sow seeds, and that's hard for us. It's hard for us because, you know, our culture has created this unrealistic drive in us for instant results. Like, you know, fast internet, fast money, fast food, fast friends with benefits. Fast is what we want. We do not like the process. We do not like delay. We do not like waiting in line or waiting for electricity to come on for the good fruit of the seeds to be sown, to be ready to harvest and picked and enjoy. And we get tired, don't we? We get tired. We get tired of doing the right thing and not seeing quick results. And that is the challenge. That is what shoots us in the foot sometimes, right? During these stretches of waiting, there's cultivating, there's weeding, there's getting prayer 100 times, there's watering, there's nurturing. Let us not grow weary in that stuff. Let us not grow weary in doing well. Even if the fruit is, it feels like it's so far out there, because there's a process of sowing before there's ever going to be a harvest or a reaping, and we get tired. But at the proper time, we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Oh, it's back on me. Choosing, right? It seems so simple, but also it's so difficult for us to do this because life is distracting. But if you stay in communion with God, if you stay abiding in Jesus, if you have life flowing through you from Him all the time, if you choose sowing seeds to the Spirit of God in your life, deliberately, intentionally, welcoming Jesus right into the center of your life, surrender to His love every single day. We don't just like stumble into this way of living accidentally. But intentionally choosing to create new patterns, sowing, practicing God's presence. All we have to do is look at the fruit of our life and determine, are we living by the Spirit or are we living by the flesh? And the bad fruit sometimes can be this is really a cool thing. The bad fruit can be the motivator. Sometimes it can be the very thing that makes us to turn a corner and do things differently. Why don't you guys stand up with me, if you will? I didn't do this exactly the same as last night, but as I was praying overnight, I really felt like God told us to start off ministry time maybe in a little bit unique way. I feel like we're just supposed to stand in his presence here. And I believe that the Holy Spirit wants to help us see if we have good fruit or where we have bad fruit. And you know, it's totally safe with him. Nobody's going to be thinking about your bad fruit when they should be thinking about their own. But let's just ask the Spirit to come. And I just invite you to let him right now just begin to put I always think of him with a little searchlight, you know, just kind of shining it in my heart, my life. Come, Holy Spirit. God, would you just sovereignly, because you're God and we're not, would you show us what we've swept under the carpet? What are the bumps in the carpet for us? Well, the Lord's just going to show you. Oh, yep, there's a bump. And then there's this one. Some of them are old things. They've been under there a long time. Come more, Lord. You can trust him. Have you been sinned against and you still have that bad fruit in your life because of it? Just let the Lord dial that up. Or you've sinned and you've had some sinful responses to other people's sin against you. Just come, Lord. And Father, we just want to say this prayer today to you as we just stand in your presence. And God, I want to pray for the church and for these people, my community, my family. Just try to express the words for all of us. God, I'm tired. I'm so tired. And I honestly just confess that I didn't know how to deal with this. I didn't know what to do to get out from under the negative effects of this sin, both kinds. But as I stand here, I just want to say, Lord, I need your help. And today I want to stop sowing seeds to the flesh, trying to do this on my own. And I want to trust you. I want to surrender to your love. And I want to say yes to sowing seeds to the Spirit. I don't even know what it looks like yet, but I want to say yes to it, Lord. I want to learn. Help me, Spirit of God. Help me be willing and ready to say I need help every day. Where the enemy has lied to us, where the enemy has tried to say, you get a pass. You don't have to deal with this. It's not true. It's not going to happen to you. There won't be bad fruit. We just expose that lie for what it is. We just say, no, we don't want to walk in that lie. And we don't want to turn around someday and find out that we've been walking in a lie and there's a lot of bad fruit. So I surrender today, Lord. I surrender to your love, to your spirit. I want to invite our ministry team to come up if they would. These are folks that just choose to just walk alongside of and pray for whatever God's doing in your life. And I recommend not going home or leaving without getting prayer today. And if it's the first time you've surrendered, we'd love to know that. We have a little gift we want to give you. If it's the 100th time, we want to just bless what God's doing and ask the Holy Spirit to empower you so that this week you can stay on track and keep sowing those good seeds. I think some of you are tired of trying to sow seeds, and you're tired of waiting. Like, you feel like you've been doing a lot of things right, and you still aren't seeing the fruit of it. And you know what helps the most when I get in that place is just people praying with me. It helps me stay the course. It gives me enough for tomorrow, for the next week. And so if you're tired of waiting and not seeing good fruit, or maybe you just need hope, or you need healing. I think that some of us, you know, we need to just trust Jesus. We need to ask for trust. And so there's all of that. There's and more that God's doing in the room. And so we just want to pray before you leave. So what we do is we worship here for just a couple songs. And I just say, stay. Just stay in this window. The window is open, and God is coming through that. And you want to receive what he has for you. You want those touches on your life. And so I just encourage that before you leave. And then thank you so much for being here. God bless you. And if your power's not on all day, come back for Unchained, because it'll be here, and I'll be here. So God bless you guys.